I hope you'll be opening your Bibles tonight to Psalm 1. We'll be studying together from Psalm 1. Before we do, I want to remind you of in our bulletin today, there is a new reading program inside of it. And this is a thematic reading program, 5 days a week. And make sure to take note of that. And if that's something that's interesting to you, I really encourage you to read those things and to think about those things each day this week. And I think that'll be a blessing to us as we start this new year. We'll be doing that every week this year. And so you just look in your bulletins and you'll find that there. And I appreciate Gary Henry for putting that together for us. You know, if you're going to find out how something ends up, it's good to think about how it begins. And that's true of a lot of things in life. If you want to kind of project where a person's going to end up in life, seeing how they began life is very helpful. That's also helpful when you're talking about throwing a ball or shooting an arrow. The way it begins and the bent that it has is going to have a lot to do with where it ends up. And so if you're going to think about where we're going to be at the end of this year, it's good to think about how we're going to start the year. And so this morning we talked about how we could start the year with some good habits. Those good habits are spending time with God in His Word and in prayer, using the possessions that God has given us for kingdom purposes, and then also making sure to put a priority on the people of God. And if we start the year in those ways, I think it's going to have a good result at the end of the year. But as I think about beginning well, my mind went back to Psalm 1. Because a lot of people believe that Psalm 1 was written specifically as a preface to the book of Psalms. That it was probably written after the book of Psalms was assembled. And the writer wrote Psalm 1 to kind of put us in the right frame of mind for reading the book of Psalms in general. Because what it does for us is it lays out two paths. And these two paths are called the way of the ungodly or the way of the righteous. And as you start to go through the book of Psalms, you're going to have to ask the question, which path am I on? Today I've called them the fast lane or the right path. And as we think about this next year, we're going to be having to make a decision. Am I going to live on the fast lane with everybody else in Dallas and North Dallas? Or am I going to choose to live on the right path? And those are two very different pathways. And Jesus did that, didn't he, in the Sermon on the Mount. He told us after we listened to his good sermon, there's two ways, and there's the way that is narrow that leads to life, and there's a way of broadness that leads to destruction. So Jesus also couched his teaching and in this terminology that there are two ways and two paths, and that's the way the book of Psalms begins. But Psalm 1 also not only tells us about there being two paths, but it tells us about there being two results to these two paths. And these two results can be captured by the first and last words of Psalm 1. Psalm 1 begins, blessed, and it ends with perish. And so those are the ends of the two paths that are described by the psalmist. One is a path of blessing, and the other is a path of cursing. And so with those two thoughts in mind, let's read Psalm 1, put it before us, and then think about the things that God wants us to consider as we choose the way we're going to live this year. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers, but not so the wicked. They are like chaff that blow away, that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Notice how Psalms begins much in the same way that Jesus began his public teaching, and that is by proclaiming a blessing. Blessed is the man. That's how Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount, by saying, blessed is, blessed is, blessed is. God wants us to live a blessed life. And the word blessing here is sometimes kind of synonymous with happiness, but it means more than just being happy. It means being satisfied or fulfilled. And so this psalm says a person who is satisfied or fulfilled is characterized by various things. As you think about that idea of happiness or being blessed, there is a difference in the way that a righteous person has blessing and the way that a worldly person has blessing. Think about that a little bit. Think about pursuing happiness in this world. First of all, happiness, it seems to me, is so elusive. It is an elusive thing. Trying to find happiness in this world, it's kind of like trying to find a diamond in the Bermuda Triangle. It's just hard to find. And the reason it is because what is promised as giving us happiness is very often not the case. That happiness is a very elusive thing. We pursue something thinking it's going to give us happiness, and when we get it, we find out that it doesn't deliver. But not only is happiness elusive, it is also very fleeting. Once you've grabbed hold of some happiness, well, it slips right through your fingers. And so people pursue happiness in a boat or a golf club or a gun. And there are times in which those things are thrilling, but that thrill is very fleeting. That's not the kind of happiness or blessedness that Psalm 1 talks about. Worldly blessedness or happiness is elusive. It's so fleeting, and then it's so expensive. You think about people trying to find happiness in this world, and they spend so much of their time and energy and creative efforts trying to be happy, and they spend all of that time, money, and creative energy, and if they indeed get it, it's fleeting, and it doesn't satisfy. If you think about just the television programs and the commercials that we watch and the things that people tell us we need in order to be happy, if you actually got all of that, you'd be broke. I mean, if you have to wear the right things, you have to live in the right place, you have to drive the right car, and you have to have all of these right situations, happenings, just so that you can be happy. And if you did get your happenings just to where they're supposed to be so you could be happy, you'd be dead broke when you got it. And then if you got it, it would be fleeting. And the matter is chasing all of those things, you don't get that happiness very often that you were looking for in the first place. And so trying to find happiness in this world is a real frustrating experience. And we all know that. And it's in that context that Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man. The kind of blessedness that is promised in Psalm 1 is not one that is found in worldly means. It is one that is found by following the Lord. And so let's look at what this blessed man does. I'm going to suggest he does two things. First of all, he listens to different counsel. And number two, he winds up in a different place. So let's look at the counsel of the blessed. It says in verse 1 there that the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the mockers. blessed people, truly blessed people. I've got that backwards. Isn't that interesting? Okay. I'm missing a slide. We will just go back here. Truly blessed people, number one, do not listen to the counsel of the ungodly. That's there in verse one. Does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And I like us to think about this idea of the counsel of the wicked for a second. Because that's really what drove me to Psalm 1. To think about that where we're going to end up at the end of this year determines in large part to the kind of counsel that we're listening to. And we're either going to listen to the counsel of the wicked or we're going to listen to the counsel of God. And that's going to make a difference with where we walk this year. So what is the counsel of the wicked? The counsel of the wicked, I believe, comes in two main ways. First of all, the counsel of the wicked comes through people. The people who influence us, like friends and family members and co-workers and teachers and fellow students and celebrities and public figures, people, those are the ones who counsel us. And that's why Scripture so often encourages us to be careful about the kind of company that we choose to be with. Because the kind of people we choose to be with and listen to is the way in which we will live. And so listen to these from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1 and verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way of sinners. Hold back your foot from their paths. Don't live like sinners live. Proverbs 4, verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Again, avoid the way that ungodly people live. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I think that's a very powerful proverb. The kind of people you choose to be with are going to be the kind of person you become. So if you choose companions that are worldly, who have ungodly counsel, then that's what you're going to become. And that's why 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived." You may think it's not the case with you. But Paul says, don't be deceived. Evil company is going to corrupt or ruin your good morals. And so the friends that we choose to be with, the company that we keep, determines to some extent the way that we're going to live. And so ask yourself, who are your traveling companions? Who are you influenced by? Who do you admire? Who do you follow on Facebook and Twitter? What crowd are you hanging around with at work, at school? And perhaps a more important question is this. Do the people that you admire, the people you gravitate towards, your closest friends, do they love Jesus? Do they love God's Word? Do they value His kingdom? Are they pursuing Him? Are their hearts inclined towards Him? Do they have a heart for the things of God? Those people who are around us are either drawing us closer to God or they are drawing us down a path that is away from God. And they're dispensing counsel to us at all times. Now, they may not call it counsel. You know, they may not hang out a little shingle and say, I'm Tim Jennings' counselor. But the way that they live and the way that they talk and the way that they dress and the things that they listen to and the interests that they have, those are going to be things that are speaking to me. And so I need to ask myself really soberly, seriously, at the beginning of this year, who am I walking with? Who am I listening to? Because as I said this morning, The way that we look at the end of the year is going to have a lot to do with who we walk with between now and then. The psalmist says, the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. But then, not only are people the counsel of the wicked, so also is popular culture. Popular culture is the counsel of the wicked around us. Think about the entertainment that you are engaged in. We probably all need a lot less entertainment and probably a lot more spiritual activity, but just think about the entertainment that you listen to, the music you listen to, and the TV and the movies and the talk shows you watch. Please recognize that entertainment is not an innocuous thing. It's not harmless. The things that we're listening to and watching are either pulling us in the direction of wisdom and godly thinking, or they are pulling us into a pathway that is the counsel of the ungodly. So how discerning are you with your entertainment? When you make the choice about what you're going to watch, what you're going to listen to, what you're going to read, what blogs you're going to follow, what books you're going to read, I'm sometimes amazed to hear Christians talk about the things that they love to watch and the things they love to read. And it is the kind of material that is just fleshly and worldly. And Christians are reading it not just because they want to see what ungodly people are doing so that they can, you know, say we shouldn't be doing that and counteract that. And that's not the reason they're reading it and watching it. It's because they love it. It's because they enjoy it. And what's happening very subtly is we're being led down the path of the ungodly. Pop culture becomes a means of the counsel of the ungodly. And it may not just be wicked things, like what we know of as sinful things. Certainly we should be listening to that or watching that. But very often, it's just worldly things. It's just things that puts money as God and sex as God and popularity as God. Power as God. We need to recognize that's counsel that's coming from the ungodly. So when it comes to the people in your life, when it comes to the culture that you are allowing to speak to you, am I not listening to the counsel of the ungodly? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Do you notice there that there's a progression that happens? Following the way of worldliness is a slow process. It begins by walking in the counsel of the wicked. And that means that we just listen to what the wicked, some versions here have ungodly, because the idea here is that you're listening to people who are not factoring in God into their values. So they may have values that may not be overtly sinful, but they're just not factoring in God into their values. And so you listen to those things, and that becomes what you think about, and that becomes the way that you talk, and that kind of directs the things that you do on Friday and Saturday nights, is the counsel that you get from people who aren't factoring in God. But then that leads, number two, to standing in the way of sinners. This means you get comfortable. Not just with advice that's not based upon godly values, but you get comfortable standing with, being with, people who are actually doing sinful things. You see, shrug your shoulders and say, well, that's just the way things are. No big deal. So you get even more comfortable with it. And then it leads to number three, sitting in the seat of scoffers or mockers. And this is where you actually get to the point where you mock, make fun of godly values and godly things. And we've seen that progression in our culture, and I see that progression in individuals from time to time. It is a subtle thing. And it is a subtle thing that goes from not factoring in God into our values to actually sinning to then actually mocking the ways of righteousness. It's that progression. And that's something we need to be, that's why we need to be particularly careful about the counsel that we allow ourselves to listen to. Now, while in verse 1 he talks about listening to the counsel of worldliness, in verse 2 he says, listen to the counsel of God. In verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. For us, the way that we determine how we're going to go down this path has everything to do with the Lord. I want you to think about one of those old West wagon wheels. Got that picture in your mind? It's got the wooden spokes that go to the middle, and on the outside it's got that metal band around it. You remember what those things look like? Now, just think about life being like one of those old West wagon wheels. But the center of that is the Lord. What's happened to a lot of folks is that the center of their life is one thing one day and another thing another day, and it's not consistent, and there's no doubt that the wagon wheel gets all bent out of shape and it's hard to get anywhere. But if we're going to go down the path of righteousness, we've got to listen to the Lord. And so the law of the Lord is what he meditates on day and night. And every aspect of our lives, we relate to the fact that God is Lord. 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 He's in the center. He's in control. But not only have we made that determination that what I'm going to listen to is the Lord, but then he says we listen to the law of the Lord. And in some places, and I think this is one of those places, this is almost synonymous with, quote, the Word of God. He's not talking here specifically about the Ten Commandments. He's not even here speaking specifically of the Pentateuch. He's speaking here of God's law, His Word in its general sense. And so we love the Lord. The Lord is what we're going to listen to. Well, what does that mean? It means you listen to the Word that comes from the Lord. So it says, verse 2, His delight is in the law of the Lord. So not only are we listening to the Lord, and we're doing it by listening to His Word, but then the next step is we're delighting in doing it. We love the law of the Lord. It becomes something we take pleasure in, that we enjoy. And then you take that to its conclusion. If you delight, if you enjoy the law of the Lord, if that's what you love listening to, and that's why you're listening to that Bible on the way to work, and that's why you're doing the Bible reading program in your bulletin, and that's why you listen to that sermon on the way home, and that's why when you get home, you're reading on that topic from Scripture that you've been wanting to learn more about. So all of those things you're doing, why? Verse 2 says, you love it, and therefore you meditate on it day and night. Meditating on it means that it becomes more than just simply knowledge. It's something that you think about, that you reflect upon, and then it becomes who you are and what you do. So we've got a choice to make this year. And the choice is, who are we going to listen to? And who we listen to determines where we go. And so we need to ask some serious questions every day this week and this year. We need to be asking, am I walking in the counsel of people who do not factor in God as the center of their life? Or am I walking in the counsel of the Lord and love His law and evaluate the things that we allow into our minds by that? It determines whether we live the blessed life or not. Well, at this point, we might be saying, well, okay, I mean, I can listen to this or I can listen to that. I got it. But it's no big deal if I choose to listen to the counsel of the godless. It won't hurt me. I'll make it okay. Well, then we get to verse 3. And in verse 3, what we have is a contrast between the life of the blessed and the life of the ungodly. And notice what it says about the life of the blessed. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. This is a phrase that Jeremiah used. In fact, it's used a lot of in the prophets. But turn with me to Jeremiah 17 real quick. Jeremiah 17. I'm going to read in verse 5 that Jeremiah takes this picture that's in Psalm 1 about the righteous being like a tree, but he's going to expand on it a little bit. So I hope you're in Jeremiah 17. Let's read beginning in verse 5. The Lord says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength and whose heart departs from the Lord. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and he will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease yielding its fruit. What God told Judah and what the psalmist teaches us is that we can choose to either live a shrub life or a tree life. And shrub life that he describes here in Jeremiah 17 reminds me a lot of the shrubs that we had in Las Cruces. We had some shrubs in Las Cruces that, you know, you would water them and you would, this is New Mexico, southern New Mexico desert. If you don't know where Las Cruces is, get with the program, okay? But that's where it's at. And we had these shrubs down there, and you just have to pour water to them, and all that work, and they'd eke out a little existence that would maybe reach your waist. And I remember going with my wife, Jennifer, to where her grandparents lived in Kentucky, and I saw that same exact kind of shrub, and I couldn't recognize it. I mean, it was over the top of their house, and it was rich and thick and dense, and had everything to do with whether it was in the desert or whether it was in an area of the country that was fertile and had a great rain, and it made all the difference. And what God told Israel is that when you listen to man, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. That kind of person is going to live a shrub life. Spiritually, they're never going to grow any taller than, you know, the tops of your boots. They're not going to live a parched life. But a person, it says in verse 7, who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord is like a tree. It's something that's going to be big and stable and productive. So let's look at what the psalmist says about listening to the Lord. So we're not going to listen to the counsel of the ungodly. We're going to get that kind of stuff out of our ears, and we're going to delight in the law of the Lord every day this month or this year. Well, then what results? What results from that is a life like a tree that is stable, that's not just blown around, but a life that has some stability to it. I tell you, it really makes me sad to hear of some people's lives where it's just from one tragedy to another tragedy to one disappointment to another disappointment, and there's no great stability in their life. It leads them to such sorrow and such frustration. One problem after another. But when we delight in the law of the Lord, there's a stability there and there's a sufficiency there. You have something to draw on. It says they are planted by streams of water. There's a productivity in their life. You shall be like trees planted by rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. And then there's a reliability in life. There is a fruitfulness that you can count on. It says, the leaf will not wither. As Jeremiah put it, it is always green. You know, there are a couple of different kinds of plants. Some plants are deciduous plants, and other plants are coniferous plants. And deciduous plants are those kind that in the spring get all beautiful and green, but then when the winter comes, they kind of dry up and the leaves fall off and they look dead. And that describes a lot of Christians' life. They're deciduous. There's green today and dead tomorrow, you know. Green again the next day. What we are to be, if we are listening to the law of the Lord, is we're to be coniferous plants. And this is the idea that we are always green. You can always count on there being some productivity, some life there. And so there's a reliability to it. And then there's a prosperity to that kind of life. And it says, whatever he does shall prosper. Now, prosper here is not the idea of financial prosperity. That's not what he's talking about. Remember what the blessed man is doing. The blessed man is delighting in listening to the law of the Lord, and he's meditating on it day and night. So what's he doing? He's doing the things that he finds in the law of the Lord. And he will be prosperous. He'll be successful in doing those things. And then there's this great serenity that comes from having your delight in listening to the law of the Lord. Verse 6 says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He doesn't forget them. He knows them. His care and his eyes will always be upon them. But, verse 5, with the wicked, it is not so. Notice the contrast with the chaff in verse 5. Number one, the chaff, if you remember what chaff is, it is where you take wheat and you rub the wheat like this. Come to VBS sometime. We'll teach you what chaff is. You take wheat and you go like this and the little kernel gets rubbed out of the hull that's on the outside and the kernel drops to the ground and the hull floats in the air like dust until it hits the ground. And what he's saying is the wicked are like the chaff. Now notice the difference there between the blessed who delights in the law of the Lord, there's a stability to it. You can count on them. They're reliable in doing things that are righteous and good and godly oriented. There's a reliability, a stability to it. On the other hand, there's the flittering around, the unreliability of the ungodly. There is no substance when the wind blows. They're restless. God said there is no rest for the wicked. And they are without excuse when the day of judgment comes, Romans chapter 1 tells us. And they are without hope when the Lord comes. Verse 6 says, the way of the wicked will perish. They have no place in the assembly of the righteous. And they will not be able to stand in the day of judgment. Verse 5. Now that kind of puts some significance, doesn't it, into the things that we're going to listen to this year. So let's judge this year. The things that I allow to influence me, to affect my love and my desires and my interest and the things that I spend my money and my time on, the things that I delight in and I'm excited about, am I doing all of that because I'm influenced by the counsel of the world? Or am I doing that because I delight in the law of the Lord? The answer to that question determines whether we're blessed or whether we're perished. And that makes it rather significant. So let's guard what we let into our ears this year. I wanted to close with a little story I read about a man by the name of Joseph Flax. He had the opportunity to go to Israel and address a gathering of Jews and Arabs. And he took for his text to talk to them Psalm 1. And he read Psalm 1 and he asked the question, who is the blessed man of whom this psalmist speaks, who never walked in the counsel of the wicked, or stood in the way of sinners, or sat in the seat of mockers, who was absolutely sinless? Of whom is the psalmist speaking? No one said a word. And so Mr. Flax asked, is he our great father Abraham? And one old man spoke up, no, it cannot be Abraham. He denied his wife and he told a lie about her. Well, how about our lawgiver, Moses? No, someone else said, it cannot be Moses. He killed a man and he lost his temper by the waters of Meribah. Flax suggested, how about David? And many objections arose. And so after a silence, a man in the audience stood up and said, my brothers, I have a little book here. It is called a New Testament. I have been reading it, and if I can believe this book, if I can be sure it is true, I would say the man that the first psalm speaks of is Jesus of Nazareth. And when you think of the man who never walked in the counsel of the ungodly, who never stood with sinners and participated with it in them, and who didn't smock and scoff the ways of God, then Jesus is truly the model of that blessed man of Psalm 1. And that's why living Psalm 1 is very appropriate for Christians. Because Jesus was this blessed man of Psalm 1, we can be forgiven of the times that we haven't been. And I want to say just a quick word about Jamie this morning. I so much appreciate Matt and Jamie, and it's wonderful to have you all with us. We want to help you all grow in the Lord. We want you to help the Lord, help serve the Lord with us. We look forward to what the Lord's going to do with us. But I appreciate Jamie this morning and her desire to just want to do what the Bible teaches we ought to do, to have our sins taken away. And Jesus is the only one that can do that. So let's go share that good news with a world that's listening to a counsel it's going to lead them to perish. You know, John said in that great text, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The world needs to hear about that. So if you're here tonight and need to respond to the gospel, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that as we stand and sing together.